With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, 25 after 6, hour number uno. Really dose because we did the warm-up show. It's Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Before we get to Chris, one thing. Mark Chernoff did check in, Al. The 23rd is official, Yankees National. So Scherzer, Cole, get ready because here we go with the baseball season 3 weeks from last night. So that should be very, very exciting and looking forward to that as baseball is back. The NHL will be back soon. We think the NBA will be back. Don't know about football, but we will see. As I mentioned, we are in for Boomer and Geo. This gentleman's name is Chris Lopresti. He is in for me. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing fine. Now, is it the 23rd? It's the 25th, right? The third of a triple header, Yankees Nationals?
This says the 23rd, according to Mr. Mark Chernoff's text message scolding Jerry for not knowing this.
Interesting. Well, I'm looking at the file he sent me, which says the 25th. So we already have some controversy about that. Don't want to misinform the audience.
Why wasn't this a big story? Because it was a big story when it was a rumored game. When it became official, wasn't it? Like,
I don't know that. I don't know that MLB has officially released the full schedule. Perhaps that's why.
Oh.
So maybe we're looking at some inside info. But this document here says July 25th.
No, relax. So the Fox July 25th triple header is Fox. That's announced. July 23rd ESPN is Yankees Nationals, followed by the Giants and Dodgers.
Oh, I see it. I scrolled down to the second
mistake.
Page.
I apologize.
You know who would have nailed this? Boomer and Geo would have got it perfect.
I think we had it until Chris screwed it up.
Yeah,
he ruined it.
Thought I had a scoop. Didn't have a scoop.
You did not have a scoop.
That's
What's
weird,
up,
though.
Chris?
Why would they put the earlier game on page two instead of page one? Why wouldn't you put it in chronological order?
I agree. Oh, well. Should have been done the other way.
I digress.
We move on.
Shall we begin with some positive news? We do have spring training 2.0, or summer camp, as they're calling it, across baseball set to begin. The Yankees are going to hold that initial workout tomorrow at the stadium. But as been the case throughout this entire coronavirus situation, new staff ace Gerrit Cole seemingly ahead of the curve. He threw to some hitters yesterday in the Bronx. That included Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, and Luke Voit. And new pitching coach Matt Blake said that Cole was in the 95 to 99 range with his fastball. Here's Hal Steinbrenner. Meantime, he's pumped to see Cole and all of his guys getting back out there.
It's going to be great just to see this many players out on the field getting ready. And, you know, there was a lot of doubts that we would play or not play, not just because of negotiations, but because of the virus in general.
And obviously the virus is in control here. If you get another full-blown outbreak at some point, that could shut down everything. If not, though, Hal does expect to see fans at the stadium at some point.
Those conversations have already happened. We've also had a lot of conversations with the governor's office, and he's been great. He's been a big advocate to getting sports back on the field, and then eventually, when things are safe, to get fans back in the stadiums.
But we got to keep doing what we're doing, I mean,
exactly,
for that to happen.
Yes, and he did say that they're looking at like 20 to 30% range at first, hopefully, and that was with social distancing parameters in place and people wearing masks, so obviously that all remains to be
And you know
seen.
What's funny about that, too, because we've talked in the past, Al and I have, about, you know, well, what's 10,000 people going to be like? You know, some people have said at a baseball game, well, if you look at a lot of Tuesday night baseball games right, in April, you'd be lucky to get 15,000 people in some stadium. So if you were able to put in 10,000 people, let's say, forget August, obviously, but let's say, or where are we at, July, August? Let's say they started September and they were allowed to put 10,000 people in. That, to me, is just taking another step towards getting back to where we want to be, and I think that would create a great presence and ambience in the stadiums again. So I'm with him. Let's go. Let's get it done, but we have to maintain where we're at. And by the way, just looking at this, these two sheets, the Yankees could be on national television up to 7 times in 2 months. So a lot of interest, as there always is in the Yankees.
And you had Steinbrenner there yesterday, courtesy of the YES Network. Meantime, with the Mets, first-year skipper Luis Rojas has high hopes for getting off the ground.
We're very optimistic that we're going to go, you know, come into camp, finish the intake process, go through camp, and, you know, and get into the season and finish it.
So when we get new managers, and we've had a bunch of them with the Mets, I always kind of key in on what some of the go-to lines are. And in listening to Rojas from yesterday, intake process, intake process, I heard him say multiple times. So that's coronavirus specific, like as they get the guys in and they go through the testing and the parameters and whatnot. But
Al, what was the phrase from Jacques Vaughn yesterday that the guys had fun with? Do you remember?
Jacques Vaughn, who's that?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Was it climate of possibility?
Yes.
Climate of something.
All right, Al, here we go. I'm going to give you five choices.
All right.
Who Jacques Vaughn is.
Got it.
And you tell me if you know. Jacques Vaughn is the new pitching coach of the Mets.
Okay.
Jacques Vaughn is the, he's interviewing for the Nick job, which there was another couple of interviews yesterday.
Okay.
Jacques Vaughn is the new scout director of the Rangers. Mm-hmm. Jacques Vaughn is the head coach of the Nets. Jacques Vaughn was just picked up by the Lakers to fill Dwight Howard's spot. I'm not going to Orlando if he chooses to.
I'm
going to
say Jacques Vaughn is a Rangers related guy because it's hockey related. Jacques?
That's a good point. I didn't think of
that. Thank you.
But you're incorrect.
I'm using my brain.
Al, Jacques Vaughn's the new head coach or the current head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Not true.
Jacques Flores.
I know his name is Brian Flores.
He's the interim head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, and we were talking about that yesterday.
Brooklyn Nets?
Do you remember the
head coach named Jacques?
Well, he's the interim.
So clearly you don't even remember him being a player. So
what a disaster that team is. They're not, they got none of their players are playing. They can't go to Orlando. They got a guy named Jacques as their head coach.
He might be really good.
Now, Al, do you remember the name of the coach who was fired, who Jacques Vaughn took over for?
Jacques Vaughn did?
Come on, dude.
Come on, hold on.
Sean Marks.
We only play
his
cuts all the time.
He was boring, remember?
Yeah.
And he was scatterbrained and all over the place sometimes.
Looked like he hadn't slept in 10 years.
Give me his first name.
No, I'll give you the first initial. K.
K. No, I don't.
Kenny?
Oh, my God.
Kenny Atkinson.
There you go.
Very nice.
We're
off
to a flying start.
We got around to it.
Talk sports with us.
Oh, boy.
877-337-6666. Yes.
Quite the audition by Al.
Speaking of which, at some point, it's going to happen. Instead of saying, I'm going to call Mel Rojas, and the Met fans are going to hate me for
I've already done this.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, it's all right.
You guys don't know anything.
Yeah. All right. So obviously, the last few months have been tough on the players having to sit around and wait, but kind of the same for Rojas. You get a young manager anxious to get his first season underway.
I'm really excited right now. I'm excited to get into this, you know, and like I said, like just the excitement of preparing camp, you know, meeting with the staff.
And trying to figure out how to get his squad ready now in a much different environment than he originally planned for back in the winter. You've got another bidder getting in line to possibly buy the Mets, Kurt Rappaport, 49-year-old L.A. realtor turned real estate developer. He's apparently leading a group that hopes to purchase the team. New York Post reports he is a baseball fan with heavy hitter connections, could make a sizable bid.
Wow.
So this guy made his fortune serving as a realtor to Hollywood stars. And back in 08, he actually sold his own Beverly Hills home to Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes for a cool $32.5 million. His net worth is thought to be in the neighborhood of $350 million. So all
I always
of a sudden,
wondered,
you
like
a bunch of people lining up here.
When you're a real estate agent, why wouldn't you just be a real estate agent to huge homes if you're working on a percentage? Like, why would you be busy selling $300,000 condos when you could be selling Tom Cruise house?
Got to build that reputation up, I'd imagine.
Probably volume, too. I mean, obviously, you'd only have to sell a couple a year, but you could go years without selling one, perhaps. I mean, if you think about it, you're talking about huge transactions. And the one thing about that, you said he's got a net worth of $350 million?
That's what it says, yes.
That
it's kind of on the low end compared to some of these guys.
I would think for a baseball owner in New York, I would think you're looking at someone that's got a net worth in the billions.
Right.
Or at least
a group
collectively.
Which is why he's working. He's getting a group together, I guess, kind of like the A-Rod J-Lo approach.
Yeah, but he's got to hurry because aren't the bids, didn't I read yesterday, the bids are due next Wednesday?
Perhaps we're just finding out about it, and he's already got the process a little further along. Not his intake process, maybe, Jerry's a little further along.
Exactly.
Right. All right. In this coronavirus world, it seems like, at least in my view, and I'm not knocking the guy at all, but Dr. Fauci, a day doesn't go by where he's
Al
not giving
him.
An interview
I hate
somewhere.
Dr. Fauci.
Okay. Well, let's play on that, shall we? Because he was on SiriusXM NFL radio yesterday. Al, I don't think he's turned down an interview since this whole thing started.
No, he turned down
this one.
Everywhere. Oh, he turned you down?
Yeah, turned me down.
Come on.
No,
that's why you hate him. I wasn't aware of that.
No, it could be. And Mark Chernoff made a great point one day. He's like, you know, he goes, Dr. Fauci was just on the Jack Curry podcast. You guys can't get him? I go, definitely get
everything.
Him. And I found the right people. I got in touch. Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci wants to pass.
Wow.
I bet you he's not a Bengals fan.
No, I do wonder. It's possible. Maybe someone also let them know that he's gotten killed on this show. It's possible.
By the way, I don't even want Dr. Fauci on here.
I know you don't.
He's a bore, he's a Debbie Downer, and he says the same thing everywhere he goes, and he changes his mind 9 million times.
Actually, he doesn't, because he keeps changing his mind and his opinion. But my point is, he's a doctor by trade. Maybe someone got to him and said, before you go on this show, they have destroyed you over the last month. And you know what? We'll pass. That's very possible. As opposed to, no disrespect, Jack Curry's just going to ask baseball-related questions, right. I would think.
And then I found out he's a big Yankee fan, so I was probably like, he probably loves Jack Curry because he's Yankee related.
Well, then you made a mistake because you should have put in the email flagship station of the New York Yankees.
I didn't know at the time. You're right.
I did that with the Mark Cuban email. I said we're the flagship station of the Brooklyn Nets, coached by Jacques Vaughn, who came over from the Rangers.
And he said, who the heck is Jacques Vaughn?
That's right. And I got a very nice response, said, please check in 2 weeks. He'd be happy to do it.
I always put in the title, the subject heading of an email when I'm trying to get a guest. Boomer Esiason show.
Maybe
I never put the co-host.
Like, maybe that's his beef.
It's
maybe
possible.
Put Boomer in there and he's not a fan of Boomer.
Maybe.
Hard to believe.
The Fauci? Dr. Fauci?
Yeah. All right, here's your boy Fauci, kind of waffling and hedging on the NFL season. Everything's just too unpredictable to try and figure out what might happen in the fall.
I think it would be folly at this point because it probably would come back and be contradictory when the real world tells you what's going to happen, when the virus really does what the virus is going to do. And it's very unpredictable to know what's going to happen in September, October, and November.
Well, he's not wrong about that.
No, they were trying to get some info out of him as far as what the NFL landscape may look like come the fall and if they're going to play or not. And his point was, I have no freaking clue. And who could blame him?
Well, did you see what the Ivy League did or they're about to do? They're going to nix football. And I don't know. I really don't know why all high school sports are not doing this. It looks like the Ivy League is going to flip football to the spring. Now, it's not official, but I did read that I guess they've come to that determination. They haven't released that yet, but it was in the paper that you will see spring football instead of the fall to give it more time to get the vaccine. Now, it comes back to what Rick Pitino said, not about strip clubs, Al, or anything on campus, but he was talking about starting college basketball in January once we have the vaccine, because at that point, really, we should be, unless there's 17 other viruses that come our way, we should be able to get back to life as normal. So why start in November if it's going to be paused and restarted? Wait till January. Well, if you've got a contact sport like football that is going to be problematic, why not play football in the fall and move baseball to the spring? Like, I don't understand why that hasn't been talked about more. It was like it was thought about and just dismissed. Like, oh, we'll play football in the fall. Well, good luck. USC now, they're going to do online courses.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
So are they going to have, are the Trojans playing or not playing?
That's wild.
Right. Move it to the spring, you probably have no problem and you could play right through a season.
Jared, to your point about the high school sports, I did hear some rumblings that New Jersey was considering moving football to spring. I don't know if they've shut that down or if they're still thinking about it, but I have heard that was at
makes
least,
sense. It
there
really
was at
does.
Least a conversation happening about that.
Yep.
As the NFL considers a variety of measures to recognize victims of police brutality, they're reportedly planning to play or have performed what is known as the Black National Anthem before every Week 1 game, Lift Every Voice and Sing, which would be heard before the Star-Spangled Banner. I will admit, and perhaps this just goes to show that I need to further educate myself, I was not aware that something known as the Black National Anthem even existed.
No,
so
I didn't either.
Check that out.
And that's a great do it. Absolutely. And I also didn't know about Juneteenth until this year either. So all
here.
Of this
yeah.
has brought awareness, and that's a good thing. So
exactly.
Play it. I don't. By the way, play before every game.
Sure.
All season. I don't think it just has to be before Week 1. Play all
season. I guess
season
maybe
long.
That's the plan for now, just to say, you know, hey, the season's going to start. We're going to have this ready. But yeah, perhaps it's going to be a full season thing as well. I guess that remains to be
Sounds
seen.
Sounds like an uplifting song.
There you go. I may have to Google that and
I've
take
Googled
a listen
it.
During one of the breaks.
As you have.
Well. Al's already ahead of me here.
I'm reading the lyrics.
There you go.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah, play us some next hour, CeeLo.
But you want, oh, okay.
Don't be lazy.
I'll have Fleegs play for you via me. How about that?
All right.
Fair enough.
So you got Fleegs.
FedEx, which has the naming rights to the stadium in which the Redskins play, now requesting that the team change its nickname. So the protesters are targeting the team's sponsors. That includes Nike and Pepsi. And last night, Nike appeared to remove all Redskins gear from its online store. So the other 31 teams were still listed. And apparently, if you search for Redskins, you came up with no results. So they're really kind of putting the pressure on Dan Snyder now to see if they can.
I think the FedEx one is bigger, personally.
Well, yeah, they paid like over $200 million bucks. For
that
the
to me
rights.
Is exactly. Now I'm on Fanatics. I'm curious if they're still here. To me, if the sponsor of the stadium is going to withdraw all those funds or at least threaten to, that's when you really have to figure out what you're doing. Fanatics still has their stuff up, so I mean, I understand Nike pulled it down, but I think it's. This to me is everything about the FedEx sponsorship and them putting the pressure on the Redskins to do this or not.
When this has come up over the years, as it has many times, has there ever been a name that surfaced that was going to be the name they switched to or no?
No, I think it's just been ideas because Daniel Snyder has been so defiant about changing it. It's kind of like the conversation the guys had yesterday. He went out and he found Native American tribes that were okay with it. Right. And then, you know, highlighted them, but then we dismiss the ones that have serious problems with it. It's kind of been a back and forth, and he's been like, I own the team. I like the name for whatever reasons. I'm not changing it. I think in this case, he might be forced to change it. I really do.
Yeah,
or sell the team.
I said to Jerry earlier, CeeLo, that if this doesn't get changed now in the era we're in, then it's never getting changed.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It should never be brought up again.
Yep.
Because this is the time. This is the time to
remember. For the seasons? No.
Now or never.
It's now or never. If it survives this one, then it's never getting changed.
No doubt.
You just hit Elvis Presley, the Mamas and the Papas, and Billy Joel all at one time.
What do you mean?
You just said this is the time to remember. That's Billy Joel, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it the time for the seasons? Isn't that the Mamas and the Papas?
That's Mamas and the Papas.
And then what was the last thing? You said something that was Elvis.
Oh, so unknowingly he hit all three.
Yes.
Maybe.
Oh, all right.
Exactly.
Well, Al's a big music guy. I thought he was suggesting that was connected. Somehow.
We'll have musical connections coming up, by the way, probably in the 8 o'clock hour with Al.
Sweet. A couple other things for you. The NBA announced 9 more positive COVID tests from yesterday, and the Clippers shut down their team facility as a precaution following
a positive
test.
But did you see the bigger number
within their traveling
of those coronavirus numbers?
The bigger number? You mean what, the overall number since they started testing?
Yeah, since they started testing. The bigger number is
25 total?
NBA tests in total for the travel team rosters and staff. 1,235 tests have been given, 35 positive, which is a very low number. And then out of that number, 351 players, 25 players, testing positive, which is roughly 7%. So I think that's probably in line with what we thought it would be. And I think the fact that you got 35 out of 1,235 is a good number, too.
But it feels like that the NBA has more than the other leagues.
Maybe
they're
guess.
Just testing more because they're ready to rock and roll and start playing.
You know what,
playing?
Though? I don't know about that because hockey's first number was 251 tests we saw on Monday, and I want to say it was 12, I think. So maybe it's slightly more, but it's not that much more.
Ratios here.
Yeah, I know. Listen,
the
number's going to be between 4 and 7%, I think, across the board. So that's where they're at, and hopefully that number stays flat and doesn't go up.
You guys may have played this yesterday. I could play it one more time for you. So you got the 22 teams getting set to head to Orlando next week. Blazer star Damian Lillard, who's been pretty outspoken about all of this kind of along the way.
Yeah, we heard from him yesterday.
Yeah, okay. Well, not optimistic about things working out.
My confidence ain't great because you telling me you're going to have, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules?
And then he says, how could we possibly expect that to happen?
When we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So, yeah. I mean, I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position.
And yeah, same cuts we had yesterday.
All right, then. Well, people have everyone has different opinions, and you'll hear from Anthony Davis later on. He kind of said the opposite, and he was just like, I think no one's going to want to get the virus, so everyone's going to be responsible and do what they got to do. So,
well, that's the thing that's so funny, and I've tried playing cuts back-to-back at times where you've got one guy like Lillard and he's been a pain with this. If you go back to the Blazers, right? I mean, from the beginning of this, the Blazers were like, I don't know, we played Carmelo Anthony, I'm not sure, we should do this, maybe not. But then you will have other guys that are like, hey, let's go. It's life. We've got to battle through. We've got to play through it. We'll be okay. So everybody's got a different opinion, and we just deal with it and move on.
I saw that DeMar DeRozan. Is that how you say his name, Jerry?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Nailed it. That's right. He doesn't understand why they can't play ping pong in the bubble, but they can play basketball and sweat on each other and box each other out.
They can play ping pong. They
can't play double ping pong.
That is stupid. I got to be honest. That's stupid.
You can't do that. You can't share snorkels or goggles if you go swimming, and they got to carry their own clubs.
Sharing a snorkel?
If they decide to play around.
Who would want to share a snorkel?
Jerry, take my snorkel.
I'm just telling you what's in the...
Take your snorkel and shove it where the sun don't shine.
Telling you what's in this lengthy protocol that he sent out, which DeRozan said he read like the first 10 lines and put it down because he couldn't handle it. It was too frustrating and overwhelming.
The one thing I did think was eye-opening was when they released the protocol and said the NBA players, they have to go to their hotel room and they can't leave for 2 weeks.
Like, what? No chance.
Okay, that seems extreme. Like, oh my God, I thought we created the bubble. Like that, 2 weeks alone in your hotel room?
But I thought they had a bubble city. They could go anywhere they want.
Well, eventually, once they get through the 2 weeks and we know that they're all clear, then they can do what they want inside the bubble, except they can't play doubles ping pong. Which is so stupid.
That's out.
Like, really stupid.
So you're with DeRozan on
that. I am with him on that one.
Did you see some of the pictures the NBA released yesterday, kind of showing how they're starting to set things up down there?
I saw the one picture of the logos painted on, I guess, some of the gym floors.
Well,
but
that
that's
was
about it.
But if you see the wide shot of that, and it just goes to show, I mean, look, they're doing the best they can. So it's like this massive either convention center or grand ballroom in one of the resorts, because you can see the carpet, and then all of a sudden they have these temporary wood, obviously hardwood practice floors just put down. So you picture these guys in a giant ballroom or conference room, and the courts are just stacked next to each other with the team logos on it. So they're going to be,
crazy, and it'll be loud. When we went to the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis this year with Rutgers, we got there the day before they were supposed to play, and they had a practice. We went to the Jim Irsay Athletic Center, and that's where they set up Rutgers for their practice the day before. Well, the game day shoot-around for Indiana was literally on the court right next to them.
Yeah.
And so you've got two practices going on, whistles flying, people yelling. Could you imagine if you've got now 8 or 9 teams going at the same time? Might be some scene. And the other one, too, is did you see the fact that they've got the loser bubble in Chicago? Hello? Anybody?
They had a call yesterday about it, right?
Yes.
Because apparently the Knicks weren't on the call because they were busy interviewing their
They were interviewing Jason Kidd and someone else. Yeah. So the idea is to take these 8 teams that aren't in this restart in Orlando and put them in Chicago to have some sort of a training camp. Like, you talk about a subject line for an interview. Like, how do you put that in? You know, loser bracket, come to Chicago? I mean, that's weird, isn't
it? Very depressing.
It's the non-playoff bracket, Jerry.
Or the loser bracket, yes.
But think about how much they're having to put into the bubble in Orlando for these teams that are, you know, in playoff contention and trying to compete for the championship, and they've got all the ups and downs with that. How are you going to get everybody on board to go to the loser bubble in Chicago?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It'd be interesting how many teams do go and want to actually put the work in, especially for a season that won't start till December now for next year.
Yep. Last thing, Cameron Champ from the PGA Tour was one of the guys who had tested positive for COVID-19. So he got back into the Rocket Mortgage Classic that they're playing in Detroit, which is irrelevant, is that the PGA has kind of changed their protocol where if you're someone who tested positive, now if you have no symptoms and you get 2 negative tests at least 24 hours apart, they'll let you get back in. And this guy says he feels like he never even had it. So he's saying he had a false positive and that he's working with some specialists. And he's like, at this point, it's clear that I never even had it. So he's still being cautious and taking precautions and whatnot, but it just goes to show, I mean, who knows what some of these tests, the positives, the negatives. I mean, I'm not minimizing or making light of the situation, but there's no exact science that we're dealing with right now, and it's tough on some of these pro athletes that are trying to make a living.
Understood. Before you go, I'm just curious, Al, in the past, if the guys would go to break this late, you would lose your poop in the control room. It's 6:47.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
You're good.
Fill up the time, baby.
We're all good.
Roll it up, baby.
All right, Chris, great job. We'll see you next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.